As a rule, blind people have enjoyed listening to radio. It's been their primary medium for information and entertainment. But radio, that fundamentally oral medium, is undergoing a facelift in many parts of the world. It's good news for blind people, but it's also bad news. The good news is that digital audio broadcasting, a technology widely used around the world, is offering much more choice to radio listeners. The bad news is that for blind people, some of the new features of DAB are pretty much inaccessible. To tell us more about this, we're joined by Ian McCrae of the United Kingdom, who recently had a fascinating and challenging article published on the BBC website about digital audio broadcasting and what it means and doesn't mean for blind people. Ian, welcome to the program. The digital audio broadcasting standard we're talking about is, of course, the one that is used everywhere where digital radio exists, apart from the US. For those of our US listeners who haven't used DAB, could you give us a bit of a rundown about what it is and what the advantages are?
I'm no technical expert, Jonathan, but I can kind of tell you what it offers to me as a listener, and that's very generally high-quality sound. Certainly, well, it's disputed, but I would say higher quality than FM, and certainly higher quality than AM, which if you're interested in sports, as I am, for example, then you want to listen to BBC Radio 5 live, and it's only available on AM in this country. So the only way to hear it on better than AM quality is to listen to it on DAB. So it offers that. It also offers, obviously, stations which only make themselves available on digital platforms. So there's a number of BBC services. There's a station called BBC 6 Music, which is for sort of dad rockers like me, plays everything from the 60s through to the 90s on the kind of rock music scene. And there's a station called BBC 7, which is dedicated to the BBC speech archive, so it's comedy, drama, largely, and readings. There's a station dedicated entirely to books called One Word Radio, which is just readings all day from different books. And, you know, it's just a wider variety of stations. And there's another station called Planet Rock, which, again, is dedicated to kind of hard rock. And you just can't get that kind of variety on analog radio.
So yet again, we've got a disparity between the systems that are offered in most of the world and the system that the United States has chosen to adopt, which is using existing AM and FM spectrum and offering additional features such as title streaming of tracks and traffic information and a few additional audio features. But I guess the advantage of the European DAB system is that you've actually got a lot more spectrum for a whole new layer of radio services in addition to what you already had.
That's right, because in addition to, you know, they put up extra channels that were at one time were being called side channels or whatever. So BBC Five Live has a station which is called Five Live Sports Extra. So if there are two big games in the British Soccer Premiership, they can cover one on Five Live, the main Five Live station, and they can carry commentary of the other on Five Live Sports Extra. Or if there's a clash of sport, they can cover, say, the football on Five Live and carry tennis or cricket or golf on Sports Extra. And as you say, in addition to that, and this is where we start to hit kind of choppy water as visually impaired people. Yeah, so they're also offered services under the banner of radio text, and that means that each DAB set has on it a LCD screen, and on that you can put information about what's being broadcast at the moment. On music stations, obviously, you can put information about which particular track is being played. Obviously, you can identify the station on the LCD screen. And so effectively, on a music station, you can do away with jocks completely, really. They're kind of redundant because those people who can see can tune in, go, oh, what's this song? I know it from my, you know, way back. What is it? And they look at the screen. Where you have a continuous music service and no station idents or very few station idents and no identification of the music being played other than a visual identification, then obviously as visually impaired people, we're at a considerable disadvantage.
So how do you tune around the band on DAB? I take it it's not like, you know, going up and down the dial on the radio.
Quite. In the old days, or, you know, on analog radio, you turn the dial or you hit your scanner and it whizzes up and down the band and it hits every station that you come to and tunes into it, and you can go, oh, that's Radio 3, that's Radio 4, that's Capital Radio, etc., etc. With DAB, you generally speaking, you tune into a particular station, and from that station, you, in fact, I've got a set next to me here. You turn the tuning knob, and it's a click stop tuning knob. And each time you turn it, it doesn't do anything to the station to which you're listening, but it changes what's on the visual display. So as you click round the tuning knob, the name of the station that you're on stays on the top line, that you're listening to, stays on the top line of the visual display, but the name of the station on which you've settled is displayed underneath that. Now, I have to say, on the model I've got here, it's a tiny screen, a centimetre from top to bottom, I should think. And the print is tiny on it. It's backlit LCD, which, you know, anyone with a bit of sight will know is not great for reading, and anyone with no sight at all is impossible for reading. So that the only way you then select your station is you having turned to the station that you want and seen its identity on the visual display screen, you then press the tuning button in, and it selects that station for you. But of course, as I say, if you can't actually read what's being shown on the visual display, then it becomes a matter of luck. Now, there are a number of presets on most DAB sets, and you can choose the stations that you listen to most frequently and preset them. And what I did, for example, I've got a personal DAB receiver from a company called the Ministry of Sound. And I've set my presets on that in a sort of logical way, so that preset 1 is BBC Radio 1, preset 2, BBC Radio 2, Radio 3, Radio 4, 5 Live, 6 Music, BBC 7, and I can click through the presets, counting as I go, and therefore select a station on that basis. But again, it's not, you know, it's not fantastically convenient, really.
My modern radio that I have is one of those ones where you can punch in a frequency, so you know that a station broadcasts on 1404 kilohertz or whatever, and you can punch that in. Does DAB work on a concept of frequencies? Does each DAB station have its own referenceable place on the dial that you could punch in?
I guess it does, but I don't know any of them. So, I mean, you know, they're obviously up beyond the kind of VHF or whatever FM band. And they're big numbers, but I don't know what any of them are. I've got friends who are more into the kind of techie side of radio than I am, who would have that information. But I wouldn't know. I've never been a great one for operating on, simply because radio frequencies have always been displayed visually. I've never been a great one for operating on frequencies, though of course it is, you know, for example, it's quite handy to know if you're using a new radio that you've never used before and you want to find BBC London, for example, to know that that is on 94.9 FM is quite useful, because you can, if you've got a bit of sight, again, you can go looking to find that frequency. But it's not, I don't think it's an intuitive way of tuning for your average visually impaired radio listener. And I know of a number of people who would be completely scared by the idea of having to remember a load of numbers in order to be able to tune into their favourite radio station.
Right, so this is no trivial matter, because radio is still, I would say, the primary information and entertainment medium for most blind people. And in Britain, it seems to me that they're more aware than most countries of this. In fact, the BBC's got the In Touch programme specifically for blind people, and I've heard you on there on many occasions, and it just seems strange to me that as a blind listener, you're having to make a bit of a stand about this so far into the rollout of DAB. I mean, what do you hope will be done about this?
I don't actually have any great hope that anything will be done about it, because I think that they have gone down this route, the manufacturers, the designers have set. Interestingly, though, the guy who was involved at the BBC in the very early days with establishing the BBC's digital radio services, and was also involved with talking to manufacturers about visual, about the design and manufacture of digital radio sets, was very keen to make those sets, or at least to avoid the possibility of those sets being inaccessible to visually impaired people. He wasn't visually impaired himself, but he'd known me, for example, for a number of years, and he knew other visually impaired people in the broadcast industry. And it also, he just had a bit of sense, really, and he said, you know, we've got to have tuning which is easy and accessible for visually impaired people. And one of the routes he chose, I saw a prototype that he had, which was that there was some speech-driven software in the prototype of this digital radio, and you could just say the name of the station that you wanted to tune to, or you could just say next station, and it would scan along the multiplexes and find the next available station, or you could say BBC Radio 5 Live or 5 Live into a microphone, and the set would go looking for 5 Live. That didn't seem to have found any favour with the manufacturers, and of course the other possibility would be that they just simply put in the kind of very inexpensive speech chip that you get in your average, you know, £20 talking watch, which they're claiming. Well, for example, there's one manufacturer over here called, they were called Videologic, they're now called Pure, and they've brought out the first mains portable DAB receiver for under £100. It's actually just two pence under £100. It's £99.98. And the guy on a recent In Touch program, the guy from that company claimed that to put a speech chip on board would increase the price by £50. Now, I don't know how he kind of justifies that sort of economic statement, because the chips must be, you know, coppers, really, mustn't they, to make and to for them to buy. And I can't imagine that once you get the manufacturing system set up, that it's going to be that much extra labour or mechanical process to put that speech chip on board. So I don't know where they get that figure of an extra £50. And of course, for them, the big thing at the moment is marketing. And so it was very important to them to get a DAB set that came in at under £100. And therefore, a set that came in at just short of £150 wasn't such an attractive option for them. So they decided, they didn't decide, I don't think they even considered it, but the reason he gave for them not doing that was that they didn't want to produce a radio that cost an extra £50 and would be more difficult to sell. So they went for one that did cost less than £100, but is more difficult for visually impaired people to use.
Britain now has disability discrimination legislation. Can this be of assistance, the fact that a radio technology, a technology on which blind people have depended for the last nearly century, is now becoming inaccessible? Surely there's got to be a civil rights issue there.
The bad news there is that the DDA, the Disability Discrimination Act, specifically exempts any manufactured goods from an obligation to be made accessible to any disabled people. And I guess in a way, you can understand that somebody says, somebody sues a tin opener manufacturer because they've produced a tin opener which can only be used manually, and they don't happen to have any hands. I can see why they made that exemption, because I think it would just have meant a huge kind of building up of cases of people suing for all sorts of, you know, we could say, why don't watch manufacturers make all their watches accessible to us? Well, they'd say because not everybody wants a talking watch or a tactile watch or whatever. There's only a very small number of people who do. And many more people only want a watch that you can take a look at and get the time from that way. So, the DDA actually isn't at all helpful. And what we're looking at really is to try and do a hearts and minds exercise with the designers and manufacturers of DAB equipment and say, look, you know, if you carry on down this road, very shortly we're going to have radio sets which the people who most, arguably most listen to, most enjoy listening to radio, aren't going to be able to use. And there's another point here too, which is that on digital services, if you expand beyond purely DAB, there are also, you know, great uses being made of things like mobile phone text messaging and so forth, so that you can text your comments to a phone-in show if you want to. It's much quicker, you know, you don't have to go on the air. And I can well see a day coming when you've got a phone-in show where the main phone-in show is going on, but in addition, a whole lot of extra stuff is being displayed on the screen. So text messages are coming in from listeners going direct from their mobile phones onto the through the production team and onto the visual display unit in the on the radio, thereby making the broadcast once again effectively redundant, really.
Yeah, the whole nature of radio was changing, and suddenly radio becomes partially a visual medium.
Absolutely. You know, the number of times that you hear people on, you know, music radio, stations like BBC Radio 2, for example, you'll hear the jock say, oh, if you want to take a look at us, you know, go to the website and click on the webcam, and there you'll see us in all our beauty. Or there was one ludicrous example recently where people were asked to, I think it was add captions to photographs that were put up on the website by a radio station. And, you know, that's just, to me, that's just kind of vaguely ludicrous, really. That I can understand that media as a whole is becoming more complex, more interactive, more multifaceted. But to apparently kind of willfully make what has been a completely accessible medium to visually impaired people relatively or significantly inaccessible to us seems to me to be rather perverse.
How many people do you think, in your position, how many blind people in the UK and other countries using DAB would actually, though, pay that premium? I mean, would you pay the extra £50 for an accessible DAB set if they had to do a special run for the blind community?
Personally, because I want digital radio. I am gadget boy, really, and I want good quality radio, and I want the stations that I can't get on analog radio. And because I'm in a relatively well paid occupation, I probably would make the choice to pay that. But I don't think it's a choice that people should have to make, really. I don't see that putting an optional speech chip, such as the one, as I said earlier, that you get on a, you know, £15-20 talking watch, would add that much cost either to the manufacturer or to the retail price of the sets. And so I think that the manufacturers ought to look at that as a possibility. They ought to look at perhaps developing other means of tuning. I mean, there is one set on the market at the minute. Again, it's a personal DAB receiver from a company called Personal Telecommunications. And there, you really do press your button, and the thing just scans up and down the multiplex, and it settles on the stations as you go. So, you know, there are other options available that would make digital radio, digital audio broadcasting more accessible to visually impaired people.
Is there a limit to the amount, I presume there is, a limit to the amount of spectrum that's available for DAB? If so, has that been now met? Are you likely, is that all the digital radio you're likely to get now?
They're sort of saying that, I think. So, for example, we've got a slightly bizarre situation with the speech archive station, BBC 7, which broadcasts on DAB only in mono, though if you listen to it on cable or satellite, and I guess on the internet, though I've never tried it on the internet, because I find the quality of internet radio in the way that it's provided by my machine not acceptable. But it's in stereo on all the other platforms. Only on DAB, on DAB, is it in mono. And the reason for that is that they've kept the bit rate, whatever that is, as low as possible in order to be able to put the station up on the multiplex at all. Whereas with quality music stations like Radio 3, 6 Music, Radio 1 and 2, they've kept them in stereo. With the obvious trade-off of having to use a higher bitrate and therefore take up more bandwidth on the multiplex. So the indications seem to be that, if you go up and down the multiplexes here in London, a number of the stations that you might expect to be in stereo, for example, a couple of the Capital Radio Group other stations, as Capital Gold and Capital Disney, I think both in mono on DAB. And if you're, you know, if you're broadcasting, you know, kids, Capital Disney is specifically aimed at children. Children are used now to hearing music. You know, listening to music in stereo was a thrill for me when I was a child, and something completely new. But children, you know, find listening in mono probably rather strange now. So I think we probably have hit the top end. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that DAB uses some sort of MP3 or MP2 broadcasting, so I can understand why they're being a bit careful about bit rates. But yes, BBC 7 is in stereo on the internet. It's interesting that it's not in DAB. Amazing.
Well, particularly as, you know, one of the things that the BBC is proudest of is the high production values that it brought to its speech archive. And listening to some dramas, you know, they for example, they recently repeated a dramatization of Fatherland by Robert Harris, which was absolutely brilliantly. It was almost cinematic in the way it was recorded for radio. It was all done on location, very kind of, you know, a tremendous amount of verity in the production, so that you believed you were where these people were supposed to be. But you listen to it on BBC 7, on the rerun, on DAB, and it's all in mono, and it just seems, you know, a waste, really.
Yeah, incredible. Now, do you know, are there digital audio broadcasting receivers or cards that actually interface with your computer? Because I imagine if you have something plugged into your PC with a screen reader, that you could control where you're tuning that way as well and read all the information that's coming up on the broadcast.
I'm not really very hot on this. I mean, I'll tell you what I know, and I think Cyan, you know, the personal organizer people, have produced something called the Wave Finder, which you can plug into your PC and thereby gain access to digital radio. But from what I've read from people, when I've seen stuff on email lists with people discussing it, the interface between enabling software such as JFW and the Wavefinder's own drivers and software is not great. It's like everything else. You know, I've got three DAB sets now, and all of them, I could argue, are inaccessible, and yet I'm using all of them on a regular basis. But I do understand that there are some difficulties with the Wavefinder.
One of the things that prompted me to contact you was the article that I discovered on the BBC website, the news website in the technology section, where you were trying to explain, and I thought you did explain very well, the whole dilemma of digital audio broadcasting for blind people. I think it says a lot about the integrity of the BBC that they ran that. What kind of reaction did you get to that, if any?
None as yet. I mean, I have had, from other quarters, I've had reaction to it. People, you know, have said it kind of put the case, because it was originally written for an industry, a newsletter for people with an interest in the radio industry over here called the Radio Newsletter. And there's been a certain amount of reaction at the Radio Newsletter website to it. Not a massive amount. The only response I've had from that article on the BBC website was from somebody who had completely misunderstood what I was saying and thought that I was talking about digital tuning, you know, as you mentioned, the kind of where you can, you know, tune your, where the tuning display is digital rather than analog. And so there's not been much reaction to it, though it is a matter that we've discussed several times on In Touch, as you mentioned, BBC Radio 4's programme for visually impaired people. And it's, you know, there, the manufacturers and the service providers say, yes, it's an issue that we recognise, but it's all very difficult. And I think that the problem is that nobody is sort of calling them to account. We've sort of got a bit of hope that, we haven't got any hope, but we did have some hope that there's a communications bill about to go through the House of Commons here, and people have been making some effort to get sort of accessibility clauses written into that. But apart from a couple of sniffs of interest from a couple of MPs, there's not been much activity on that front either.
So are the blindness agencies like the RNIB and others pushing this bandwagon at all?
Not hugely. Again, I mean, the broadcasting people at the RNIB, I mean, you'd have to get the view on it from them, but they seem to be more interested in making television more accessible, so making, you know, audio description more widely available, making things like EPGs, electronic program guides, more accessible and so forth, than they are in DAB. It has to be said, I mean, you know, DAB is still a relatively... those of us who listen on DAB are still a very, very small community over here. I mean, I think the last time I heard a figure was something like 70,000 digital radio sets digital audio broadcasting receivers in homes around the country. Now, that figure is likely to have increased because of the arrival of a couple of cheaper options like the one that I mentioned and the one made by Goodman's. And there are more and more people finding that they have digital radio available to them via their satellite and cable service providers. Whether they know that they're listening to digital radio, I think a lot of them probably don't. So, but in terms of DAB, the community, I would imagine, is still probably less than 200,000 people. So, you know, you're not talking, and of those, obviously a smaller number, again, are going to be visually impaired people. So you're not talking about a massive lobby here, unfortunately, either.
No, you know, is it sustainable at that level? I mean, is the growth what people are anticipating, and can it last if that's the case?
Well, I think there is, you know, it's like, you know, Betamax and and VHS all over again. And it's, I always remember the American comedian Rita Rudner saying, I'm only going to buy a CD player when somebody tells me it's the last thing they're going to invent, you know. And it is, when do you go in and which option do you go for? I don't particularly regret having gone for DAB, though I am sad that BBC 7 and other stations are only in mono. And perhaps with a bit more hindsight, I would have gone maybe a different route, particularly now that on the cable system that we have here at home, you know, we've got digital radio. In fact, we've got more digital radio stations on there than I can get on my DAB receivers. So whether it'll last or not, I don't know. I mean, what they're talking about, well, first of all, in terms of in-car and personal stuff, it seems to me that DAB is probably, isn't it, the only option. And they're also talking about introducing a small DAB receiver, which will also have time shift recording capability, which would be a complete first in terms of radio. We've never had, you know, the capability to do time shift recording from radio. And in that sense, I think you would end up with, I think it may well go the way that all other branches of the media will end up going, and that is to say that you will have less channels with linear schedules, like, you know, BBC 7, which has a daily schedule that you know that if you tune in at 9 o'clock at night, you're going to hear a relatively modern comedy show, and at 9:30 you're going to hear something from the classic comedy archive. They're going to have less linear scheduled stations like that, and just more options that you can say, all right, I fancy hearing episodes 1 to 4 of Fawlty Towers all in a go, and you'll just go to somewhere on your little personal thing, seemingly mini computer kind of thing it'll be, and call them up, and you'll either have paid a subscription to be able to do that, or they'll be free to air, as, you know, a lot of the digital radio services, well, all the digital radio services are.
We can only hope that access comes before then, so that people can avail themselves of all of
Absolutely.
Those great features. Just one final question, do you get the cricket in stereo?
I don't think the cricket is broadcast in stereo, no. I think it's only in mono.
What a shame. Ian, I appreciate you coming on the program. Fight the good fight, and we'll keep tabs on this, and I hope to hear of progress in the future.
Thank you, Jonathan.